Well, amen. He did that all for me. If it wasn't for any of y'all, he'd have done it for me. If it wasn't for me, he'd have done it for you. Amen. Isn't that great? Isn't that good news? Are we good? Okay. Amen. Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. We're going to read a couple verses to get us started this evening. Verse 13. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. Now, Pastor mentioned this in the message this morning, so we're just going to pray and dismiss. Maybe not, maybe not. I want to preach a message, and you know, I never worry about, I used to, but I don't worry about somebody preaching over your message. If someone does, then we really need it bad. Yeah. Amen. But I want to just say, it doesn't do it this message, but something Pastor said this morning is so vital for us to remember is we can't do it without the Spirit of God. It's the Spirit of God that does it. And, you know, I wish I could remember that all the time. It's not me, it's him. And if we remember that, it'll help us a long way. And we're going to look at this. I'm going to preach a message tonight. It ain't about you. That's the message. It ain't. I'm just using that word because I can. It ain't about you. Let's pray together as we get started. Father, we're thankful, Lord, for your goodness. We're thankful that you sent your Son to die on that cross for me. And Lord, I pray tonight that you'd help us. Lord, we need to hear from heaven. Lord, I pray that you'd help me to do that which would bring honor and glory unto you. Lord, pray that you'd give each one ears to hear. Lord, would you do that which would glorify yourself and the work which you've purposed, and we'll give you thanks for that now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So the crucifixion happened there. This was no ordinary weekend, right? It was no ordinary weekend. No matter what anyone had previously thought about Jesus, this was a significant event that took place. It amazes me how the world will bend over backwards, tying their own arguments in knots, an attempt to not allow the biblical record to enter into the argument that they're trying to make. It's comical. It's really comical at times that they'll try to do this, and they'll, like, the truth that's there, they're like going all around it. And if they could use that truth, it would actually be helpful to their argument, but then it would kind of defeat what they're trying to argue. And so they kind of go on this thing. At times, they seem to make themselves fools before their own peers to try to accomplish this rejection of the Bible. Other times, they sit in bewilderment of the answer that's right in front of them. You know, I've studied linguistics for quite a few years, and I went to some, I've studied in some secular environments. Sri Lanka, I took a master's of linguistics course there, and of course it's a Buddhist nation, and they would teach linguistics there, and it was such a fascinating thing to listen to them talk about. And I'd read, and a lot of the linguists that are out there today are atheists, and they're the you know, they've come up with some of the science and the thought, and so much, they'll say it's really amazing. They say there was a time, and they trace in linguistics, what they do is they trace languages back, and they say, well, this became this group of languages and this family of languages, and so forth. And so what ended up happening is they would say, well, this group here came from here, and there seemed to be a period that from like sometime in history they were all right, they all kind of traced back to here. We don't know what happened. come and take our course called Babel. You're like, you're kidding, right? Because you're not that, I don't want to use the word stupid, but foolish. That's a Bible word. You're not that foolish, really, that you would, and you'd look at him, you're like, you know, there was actually something just like that. Yeah, anyway, I don't want to get off on that, but listen, there's this thought of let's go around the Bible. Let's leave the Bible alone. And not for us, I'm just saying in the world and so forth. It's not the joy, listen, it's not the joy in the freedom of ruling one's own life that they pretend it to be, right? They pretend, oh yeah, I don't want no God. I'm not so weak that I need a God to tell me what to do, right? I get to do whatever I want to do. Man, doesn't that sound like fun when you're like six, right? I get to do whatever I want to do. Or I get to eat as much chocolate as I want to eat. That's a good day. It's not a good night, but it's a good, you know what I'm saying? This idea that the battle to resist and reject the logical conclusion that there's an intellectual design is so very difficult for them. They try and try. It's actually exhausting. Many people make their whole life about trying to convince people that God is not real and doesn't need to be, there doesn't need to be any prayer, right? We don't need to pray before football games. We don't need to pray before class. We don't need to pray before legislature sessions. You know, we don't need to pray. We need to, they just spend getting that out. There doesn't need to be any morality. We don't need biblical morality. There's no place. They spend their whole life fighting to remove any form of Christianity in our nation particularly, only to watch society spiral into lawlessness, debauchery, murder, school shootings, perversion, deception, and political unrest in their utopian concept. And you sit back and you're like, do you see the connections? No. You know, when Christ was crucified and put into that tomb and rose from the grave, it was earth-shattering. Even those that did not believe, nor would believe, had to acknowledge that this wasn't normal. Something was different. Turn with me, if you would, over to the book of Mark. Mark in chapter 15. I'm not going to keep you long tonight, probably about an hour. Okay, it's not funny because you're like, yeah, that's normal. Okay. Mark 15, verse 33. The Bible tells us, and when the sixth hour was come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. This would have been in the middle of the day. And in verse 34, and at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, which is being interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Look down verse 37. And Jesus cried with a loud voice and gave up the ghost. And the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. And when the centurion, which stood over against him, saw that he so cried out and gave up the ghost, he said, truly this man was the Son of God. That day, that wasn't a normal weekend. It was an earth-shattering weekend. It was a weekend that changed the course of the whole world. Matter of fact, it literally broke the timeline, right? I mean, maybe not specifically that, but Christ. And we see this event that took place, and so many people and those that were there, maybe one of the fellows parting the garments. Could you imagine those that parted the garments and so forth? And he's sitting there holding something, this, that. I just imagine sometimes all of a sudden, that happened, he dropped, and like, I don't know about that, you know, because that was kind of a little bit, this is power of God going on here, and something was happening. It's in that backdrop that we find these two disciples departing from that scene. Back in Luke 24 and verse 14, and they talked together of all these things that had happened. You can't see the forest for the trees. You ever heard that saying? Yeah. John Haywood, he was born in 1497. He was either the coiner of that phrase or he collected phrases. He's got a book of a collection of sayings, and it's amazing. I was reading through some of these things. It's quite interesting how many of the idioms that we use today commonly date way back in history, hundreds and hundreds of years, and this is one of them. Maybe it's because the truth in them still rings true in our human nature, such as this one. You can't see the forest for the trees. Gives us the idea that we cannot see the bigger picture because we're entangled in the details. These two disciples that were walking away from this wonderfully terrible event were only looking at the trees. Such is our situation so often, isn't it? We look at what's currently going on in my personal life, how things are affecting me. Things that have given me such a burden and sorrow, and we think about it, my life is never going to be the same, my future is bleak, my relationship's damaged, my career ruined, and my dog probably ran away. Right? Make a good country song. The trees can really get in the way. Thankfully, we're not alone in this world. We're not walking alone trying to navigate this confusing forest of complexity that we call life. Life is confusing. It really is. It's complex. And the more I learn, there's more to learn. You know what I mean? And I don't mean just the Word of God. I just mean people. You know, you think you got people figured, okay, I understand what's going on, and then you see somebody, you kind of figure out something about them. You're like, okay, this is what's going on. And then you sit down and talk to them, and you're like, oh, that's different. That's what's going on. That's why they're like this, because or acting like this, or burdened or mean or whatever's going on. Something's going on in their life, and you're like, okay. And you begin to see stuff going on, and sometimes it's maybe not mean. Maybe they're removed. They're displaced or quiet, and they're off to themselves, and you find out there's a lot of hurt in their life. I'm telling you, life is complex. It's confusing. I know I did it for some years, but I've been saved more years now than I've been lost. And I can't remember how I did it then. I do remember that the times that I thought were joy ended in nights of sorrow, right? And really what brought me to Christ is longing for something. After I had fun, I wondered what was missing, that why it really wasn't satisfying. I can't imagine now at this point what it would be like to walk and navigate this life alone without the Lord. Verse 15 down here, and it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. And their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? How many of you here would like me to really explain that word Holden to you? Yeah, me too, right? I'd like, that's, it's kind of, that word Holden is a bit tricky. Some think the Lord caused them to not see. Some think that there was something put over their eyes that they wouldn't notice him, and later on they did. Others believe that they had their faces to the ground in sorrow and sadness, as it says here, and didn't notice who he was. We could find, we're not going to turn there unless you mark it down, we could find in Mark 16:12 that Jesus appeared in another form unto them. It's likely that Jesus didn't have the normal attire or appearance that they would have expected to see him. Maybe he always dressed the same way and had the same, maybe he didn't have very many, maybe it was the same set of clothes or not much. And so anyway, either way, Jesus was walking with them and they didn't notice it was him. You know, the challenges around us could be so large. Challenges in your life can be so big, such as a huge tree. It's like that we don't see the forest. There's things that come up in our lives, and I've talked to people. I've just this weekend I've talked to a couple different people that said, this thing happened to me, and when this thing happened to me, it caused me to wonder about all the things I believe about God. It was so big. And they didn't use that phrase, but it's really what they're saying. This thing, it just shook my life. It changed everything. When this came up, this thing, a lot of times it's death or divorce or some kind of health thing that's really major. And they said, when this thing came, I just wondered, is God even walking with me? Is he even there? Some things, I'm telling you, some things are big like that. And we can be so focused on our problem, our situation, our burden, mostly just how life has affected me, that we miss what is actually taking place at the moment. So the Lord asks them, what's going on here? why are you so sad? What's going on? Why, you know, what's going on? The Lord didn't know. He needed some answers. He was gone for a few days, right? No. Y'all with me tonight? The Lord doesn't ask questions because he needs answers. He asks questions because he wants us to consider what's going on in our life. And look down verse 17 again. And he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as you walk and are sad? And the one of them, which was named Cleopas, answering said unto him, art thou only a stranger unto Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass in these days? And he said unto them, what things? And they said unto him concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came, saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. Can I just say it this way? Cleopas was not happy about how the events transpired. You ever had some unmet expectations today? Right? I mean, unmet expectations are the worst. The worst. I hate it. Because I'm expecting this thing to be like that when you get there. You know what happens? You know what we do with expectations? We judge based on that. This is what I expect. We go in there and you get there. It's like, this is nothing like I expected it to be. You know, and it's almost always worse. Right? Rarely, and every now and then, wow, that's better than I expected. Sometimes that happens. Sometimes that happens. But the thing is, unmet expectations is devastating. It really is. And so Cleopas is going and they're talking. It's like, this is... It's quite fascinating that the part about his death and crucifixion was simply mentioned in passing as one of the pieces. You know, kind of just at verse 20 says, and the chief priests and rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trust it. It just goes on like, yeah, that's not the thing. That's a piece of the thing. He seemed to be more concerned about what he thought was going to happen. You know, we trusted that he was the one that was going to redeem Israel. Okay, you see the irony there? He is the one that redeemed Israel. And yet they thought, no, we were going to be back in power. His expectations were not going to be fulfilled. You know, isn't it interesting that their expectations was that Jesus was still going to be alive, right? The ladies had said he's still alive, and they went there. But the tomb was like they said, but he wasn't there. Isn't it something when you think about Jesus had been preaching this really for a long time? 3 days, I'm going to rise again. There should have been a greeting party at the tomb. I mean, it should have been when he died. It should have been. I'm just saying it should have been. I knew that was going to happen. Not like arrogant, but that's what Jesus said was going to happen. I knew that was going to happen. And since that happened, he said that was going to happen. He said exactly what he said. I mean, sometimes the trees can be so blinding. You know what I mean? So blinding that the things that God says are going to happen, just the way he said it was going to happen, it happened, and then it happened, and then it happened. It's like, man, I hate all this stuff that's happening. Like, this is exactly what the Lord said it's going to be like. And so when all that happened, it didn't, because of the trees, they weren't seeing the forest. They were saying, listen, when all that was happening, instead of saying, you know what, all that happened, he's going to be there 3 days later. Let's go camp out. Let's go. This is going to be awesome, right? Remember how Lazarus came forth? What do you think is going to happen when Jesus comes forth, right? Listen, it should have been like that, but it wasn't. They just went to go, you know, re-season him. Just saying, they went to, you know, with the herbs. I don't know. Sorry. Help us, Lord. Where was I? Sometimes I say things that, where'd that? The Cleopas, when he heard what the ladies had said, verse 24 said, and certain them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it, even as the women had said, but they saw him not. And so there was that disappointment. It's disappointing. Can I say this to you tonight? It's disappointing to see how quick the believer will cease from following the message of Christ when things don't go the way we imagine they would. Right? Man, I get this all the time. I find this so often. As soon as something doesn't go, like, listen, and I've said this many times from up here, I like my life to be problem-free. Right? I like everything to go my way. Everything goes the way I expected. Everybody loves me, and everything's great. I like, that's how I like life in some alternate universe is when that's getting, you know what I'm saying? But what happens is when something doesn't go on our way and there's a tree there, well, you know what we often do? Say, if there's a tree there, if that's the way, I'm going to go back. I'm going to go back. And I see people say, hey, you know, we ain't seen you in church in a few weeks. Well, the pastor said, you know, he's talking like he wants me to tell my family about Jesus. Wow. Yeah, I think that is what he said. Yeah. Somebody, you know what? I was back there. I stayed in the church building for like 8 seconds and nobody shook my hand. You know what I mean? And we'll see people something. I'm kind of being funny on some of those things, but I'm telling you, it'll happen. Something will happen. This thing happened. And because that thing happened, we turn and get out of sorts. And I'll tell you, this was a big deal. This wasn't a normal weekend. You understand what I'm saying here? And they were listening to it, and they were going along with this thing, but they were probably thinking Jesus was telling a parable. Yeah, he ain't going to die. He's going to like something, but not that, right? And they quickly began to doubt. And when we get so focused on the trees, we can all get so focused on the trees that we miss the forest. Can I tell you, God's bigger, the bigger picture of God's plan has you in it, but it ain't about you. You understand? Hey, listen, you're in it. Amen. But it ain't about you. Now, we might want to cover the kids' ears for some of these kids for a second, but believe it or not, the world doesn't revolve around you. All right? The world doesn't revolve around you. Y'all are like, nah, I ain't not amening that. Maybe what's going on that affects you is for the purpose of the forest. Maybe that tree that God has put in your way is actually to build the forest. I would rather other people build the trees. You know what I'm saying? By the way, I believe that. I'm not just saying that to be funny. I like it when God does things and I just get to enjoy it. Not enjoy their troubles, but, you know. But the fact is, if God doesn't do that in my life, then I'm going to be back on the edge. And I want to get in the thick of what God's doing. Do you understand? I want to be in the midst of what God's doing. On the edge is safe, kind of. The spout where the blessing comes out is in the midst, not at the edge, right? Tied to the dock, right? And so we find that this thing, it's, I'm just saying, listen, God loves you and he loves me. We just sang about that. We are important to him beyond our own comprehension. But there's more going on in this world than what is happening in my world. It's just there's a bigger picture. There's something bigger than just me. Which doesn't mean God doesn't care about me. To the contrary. It's God cares about me and he cares about someone else. You know what? God had to do something in somebody else's life, put some tree or put something in their life, so that the gospel would make it so that I could get to the place. You know, can you imagine somebody over there saying, this ain't fair? I imagine someone was doing that. I wonder how many times that I sat there belly aching when God was doing that in my life for someone else. There are people struggling to survive in an environment without any hope of the gospel throughout our world. There are believers that every day of their life have to find a way to live out their Christian life without being killed for it. I remember reading about the Dark Ages and the catacombs and people trying to find a way to, they had to go out to make some money. And they'd go out to make some money, try to do some trade or something or sell their goods or something and try to make a little bit of money to try to feed their family that's hiding out and fear of death. And they would come and they'd come to somebody's home and God would prick their hearts to tell them about Jesus. And the wife and children are at home knowing that if dad is presented with an opportunity to share the gospel, he's going to do it. And sharing the gospel may be the last thing he does. He might not come home. I hate those stories. I hate them. They're so convicting. You know what I mean? I'm afraid somebody might slam a door in my face or say, get out of here. I don't care about that. You know what I mean? So, you know, but I'm telling you, this is, there are Christian brothers in America that are being prosecuted for their faith, losing their assets, their freedoms, and are treated as a criminal. Listen, folks, and by the way, this isn't a story of, well, there's always someone out there that's worse than you. That never really encourages me. You know, some of my family said, well, is it, would it make you feel any better that it was worse for me? I'm like, no, that doesn't make me feel better at all. I don't feel good, that you don't feel you worse good doesn't help. That's not what this is about. Well, there's people worse than you. You ought to just, like my mom used to say, eat your food. There's people in other places starving. It worked for me, but that's not what we're talking about here, folks. It's not that kind of, no, it's about the fact that God is doing a work in this world to save people from the burden and the penalty of their sin. God is doing a work. That's the forest. And you and I are a part of that. We're part of that. God will use the challenges in your life to make a difference in the lives of others. Could we understand, and I mean get a hold of rejoicing in tribulation? I mean, it's Bible, so it feels like it's good, right? But I mean, really, listen, folks, I'm just saying it like this. Instead of complaining when things don't go our way, right? I mean, has anybody ever, no, don't raise your hand, but you know somebody that complains when things don't go the way, right? Amen? Okay, y'all do know somebody does that. And you look at him in the mirror, Anyway, so instead of complaining when something doesn't go our way, we say, God's trying to do something. God's trying to do something. What's he doing? Can we get a hold of that rejoicing to this place to say, wow, wonder what God's going to do, right? I know it doesn't make sense mentally. By the way, you can't do that. You can't get to that place in your flesh. That takes the Spirit of God. As mentioned this morning, we're going to look at it in just a second. It takes the Spirit of God doing something, right? And you say, okay, this is that thing we were talking about. God did something here. Wonder what he's doing. And get a little giddy. Yeah, no. I mean, instead of getting mad, get giddy that God's doing something in my life. God's doing something in my life to build the forest, right? I'm telling you, if we could get our mind in that place, man, I'm going to tell you, it makes things so much different. You know, it changes things. Can I just say this to you? The Lord was not really thrilled with the state of mind of these sorrowing disciples. I mean, when I say he wasn't really thrilled, look at verse 25. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken? Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? I'm telling you, I don't get this, like, oh, guys, come on. I don't get that at all. You know what I get? What is wrong with you? You ever want to do something for somebody they needed to have you do for them and they didn't want to let you do it? You know what I mean? You wanted to do it for them. They needed it done, but they didn't want you to do it. Like, no, I'm going to help you. I don't need your help. No, I mean, you know, especially with kids, but adults, let me help you. They're like, no, I don't need your help. I told you. And you're like, well, oh, maybe I needed your help. That's kind of what's going on here. The Lord said, I needed to do. This is what we've been talking about this from, like, you know, Genesis. This is it. Fools. Foolish. He didn't call them fools. He called them foolish. It's a verb, not a noun. It's nicer to use verbs than nouns on people. You know what I'm saying? You fool, just you're being foolish. You know, anyway, a little different. That's what he does here. And he said, listen, you're slow of heart. You're just not getting it. You're so focused on you. Let me ask you this question tonight. I want you to think about this. If the Lord walked up on your conversation on a daily basis, what would he find? Think about your last, 24 hours. The Lord would have just some point along that, the Lord would have come sometime and just walked up between you and somebody else and put his arms around you. So what's going on? What y'all talking about? Why y'all talking like that? What would he find there? Would his response to you dealing with the circumstance, with the way you're dealing with your circumstances, would it be pleasant? Would he have a, well done. Well done. Or like this encounter, he would say, you're foolish. You're foolish. You're behaving foolishly. You know, we cannot control the world around us. That's frustrating, right? We cannot control the world. I think our problem too often is we want to control the world. We want to make the world conform to our image. Or we want to make the world conform to his image. And then we're shocked when the world doesn't. Why would they? And by the way, you couldn't either except for the Spirit of God living within you. Right? None of us can. And we want to control the world, but we can determine to live out our faith regardless of the circumstances that befall us. Listen, I don't care what tree gets in my life. If God puts it there, if God allows it to be there, I'm going to let that thing be there, and I'm going to realize God wants to do something. I'm going to keep living. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to peek my head around that and say, God's still good. And then be like, well, you just had this terrible thing happen to you. God's still good. And I don't mean in the sense of we just give lip service, but we continue living our faith, continue to come to church, continue to share Jesus, continue to live a life that is Christ-like, not sitting over in a corner crying, bickering, complaining. Isn't it a blessing when something happens with the saint that's bad and they air it out on social media? God is glorified, right? Hey, you know, I got this thing happen, and we don't say it this way, but the world hears it this way. God didn't take care of it. Hey, you want to come to church next Sunday? Yeah. Right? The worst thing we can ever do is let the tree cause us to, if I say just be a stumbling block from people, other people receiving Christ. I don't know if that's the case here. I've not heard that here. So what I'm saying is in the past, I don't think he knows. No. what I'm saying, I've heard of like wives that come and or husband or whatever, and they'll come and then they'll come to church and then they'll go home. And yeah, that just that and they'll have like roast preacher or that church they do, and everything becomes like what the problems in the church, right? You know, and really the fact is we have a perfect church. Okay. The thing is, listen, is there going to be issues? Yeah, is there going to be, listen, here's the thing, but you go home and say, yeah, this thing happened and it is terrible. But next Sunday, will you come to Sunday school with me? And we wonder what, but you know, now you know what we do? We talk about that thing. And then like 6 months later, because we get our heart right. 6 months later, we want to invite those folks we told about that. We want you to come here. We're having a conference. So I'd love for you to come and hear the gospel message so you can be saved. And they're like, that church? I remember what you see. I'm just saying sometimes things happen in our life. What is it? Listen, we can't control the world. We can't control people. People are, they have faults. I mean, other people, you know. And they're going to do things that are going to just annoy you, frustrate you, sometimes downright make you mad. You know what? I can't stop them. But what I can do is determine to live out my faith regardless of that. So the last thing I want to say is this. Turn your sorrow into joy. Look at verse 30. In verse 30, and it came to pass as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake and gave to them. And their eyes were opened and they knew him and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way? And while he opened to us the scriptures. So Pastor mentioned it this morning. This is that reference there. He said there was a, they're saying, and listen, when he was preaching, he said, you know, when he was preaching, as we walked along the way, conviction came. Let me ask you a question. Do you recognize the conviction of the Lord in your heart? It's a rhetorical question, but I want you to think on that with me. Do you recognize the conviction of the Lord in your heart? If I asked you this question, remember the last time God convicted you, you're like, yeah, back in 1978, man, God just, right? I mean, not some of y'all, but... And what I'm saying is sometimes, yeah, I remember one time God, can I say, God doesn't convict us one time back yonder. We ought to, and I don't mean like the same potency every service, but there's a couple things he said when Jesus spoke and the scriptures were preached to them, the conviction came. You know, we have the same word of God today. Isn't that something? The same word of God that the pastor preached out and the preachers get up here and preach out. It's the same word of God that ought to bring that same conviction to us today. Right? That burning within, that still small voice. I don't know, we call it, you know, that still small voice. I think it's us that has to be still. Right? It's us that has to be still to... Your God, begin to do something in our life. So, if you felt that conviction, and when you feel that conviction, what do you do with it? What do you do with that convicting presence of God? That was neat. What do we do with it? Well, look what they did with it. Look at verse 33. And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together with them that were and them that were with them, saying, the Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon. and they told what things were done in the way and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. I'm telling you, they got excited about it. Look at verse 35. And no, that was verse 30. Listen, they got excited about it. Can I just say this? They immediately responded to it when they realized there was a convicting power of the Spirit of God. They responded to it. What were they responding to? They were responding to God doing something in their heart because of what they were doing. You know what they were doing? They were focusing on the tree. And God said, hey, listen, there's more than that. Something else is going on here. And God began, you know, maybe tonight, God, through the things maybe here, you're thinking about a tree in your life, right? You're thinking, man, this thing, maybe it's now, maybe it's something happened in the past, and you remember, and there's that tree, and you remember, and you're thinking, that's that thing. And maybe tonight, through the course of this message tonight, you've been convicted about it, right? What do you do with that? They immediately responded. You know, they went, it was about a 7.5-mile trip they just walked in sorrow. And then their sorrow turned to rejoicing, and they went ahead and went back. Anybody here done that in a day? Not on purpose, you know. But that's what it did to them. It stirred them and said, we got to do something. Listen, can I tell you, the death of Christ didn't get reversed. The great persecution of believers wasn't gone. Their expected hope wasn't realized. Yet their sorrow was still turned to joy when they realized that the trees weren't in the way. They are the forest. The details, the challenges, they are all part of the work. Look, tonight, this stuff that's going on in our world, we live in a, I don't know what the right adjective is, but bad, terrible. That problem, that burden, your difficulty that's going on right now, it's not the forest. I want to end the message with this. I'll say one thing, we'll close. Remember this, it's not all about you. I really encourage you, if God has convicted your heart, just like these fellas, these disciples, that we do something about it. When we do something about it, it actually stirs us to live that way.